you for joining us on After Dark with Rob and Andrew here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's been an action-packed year on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. And don't miss anything over at AmericaOutLoud.com, which is loaded with articles and countless hours of podcast. We're very excited for the show tonight. Irene Jackson's going to be joining us once again to talk about the Texas abortion law that we have all been reading about recently and seeing all over the news. You know, this Afghanistan debacle that we've seen from Joe Biden, 13 dead soldiers, and we will not forget about them here on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. We are going to keep harping on this Biden administration for this absolute debacle in Afghanistan. But the news media just wants to shift the focus to Texas and act like it is so horrible that they have this new abortion law where women cannot kill their babies after 6 weeks. I'm personally happy to see this law in Texas. I think it's just, it's going to save countless lives if it stays in. And what we are seeing is a shift all across the nation. Even Kirstie Noem of South Dakota has enacted some new laws since this Texas abortion law. So I'm very happy to see with the way things are shaping up. Of course, the news media wants to act like Republicans don't care about women's rights and all this other stuff. Not to mention, when a woman goes and gets an abortion, she doesn't even have to have the male that got her pregnant's permission to get the abortion. But yeah, there's just so many things wrong with that. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Andrew. Thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight. Your opening said a mouthful. For one, we don't want to forget the 13 soldiers who lost their lives because of incompetence of Joe Biden and his administration, his generals, whom in my opinion should step down. And now we hear that he's trying to remove certain individuals that Trump put on the military boards. It begs the question, why is he doing this? He wants to move staunch supporters of our military and replace them with woke individuals, especially at West Point. I wouldn't at all be surprised if people decide to stop going to West Point. We've got to take back our country, Andrew. We've got to take it back by any means necessary, because if we don't, we will fall. Joe Biden doesn't care. The woke community doesn't care. Barack Obama set the stage for this. We know he doesn't care. He's making his millions, so he has been set aside, protected from all this. So if the country were to fall, he can get security guards to take care of him. And this is what voters need to be aware of while you're marching in the streets and you're claiming that white supremacy is taking over and that Black and brown people, they're being oppressed. Or why are there more Black and brown people coming in at the border? Why are they flying in brown people from Afghanistan that we are yet to vet, but they're leaving Americans behind enemy lines? But yet and still, we're so racist and that white people are afraid that Black and brown people will outnumber them. So this push to make America as brown as possible, it doesn't make any sense. People, you got to wake up. And Black people especially, they keep falling by the wayside and listening to these liberal, stupid talking points. Look at how they're attacking Larry Elders, a Black man, run for governor of California. Now, we've heard the left say, we don't need any more white men. But now you have a Black man who's running. Oh, we don't like him. He's a white supremacist. So is it that you are a white supremacist when you don't fit the bill, meaning their political ideology has nothing to do with race or color, but if you don't fit their ideology, you're a white supremacist. And just like clockwork, you have a lot of Blacks, woke, who are confused, not using their own thought process, and they fall for it. And I blame the Black leaders. I blame the Black pundits. I blame the Black anchors and commentaries that are out there, like the Joy Reid's, like the Don Lemon's, like Al Sharpton. And all the Blacks on MSNBC and CNN, as far as I'm concerned, you can put them in a bucket and just throw them out, because it's all groupthink. No one is there to speak the truth. Every Black person that's there has the same talking point as their white counterparts, which is sad because none of them have stood up and denounced the attacks that were placed on Tim Scott, the attacks on Larry Elders, even the attacks that went toward Condoleezza Rice. They said absolutely nothing. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, silent. This has got to stop. It has to end. And now we're moving to Texas. Oh, I can't believe what they're doing. They're trying to take away women's rights. And I saw a clip the other day with AOC talking about it with Anderson Cooper, who's another woke individual. They shouldn't even call themselves journalists, but she's there lamenting and saying, well, you know, people that have babies, women have babies. I mean, cisgenders that have, it's like, wait a minute. Men can't have babies. Don't even go down there. Follow the science. They talk about following the science, but when it comes to them, you don't have to follow the science. And we see all these pictures of women dressed like men saying that they're men having babies. No, that will never exist. I will never accept it. Men can't have babies. Men don't menstruate, period. Men don't have abortions. So when Jennifer Psaki was telling a reporter, like, you don't understand this because you're a man. Well, what do you mean, Jen Psaki? You guys said that men could have babies. So why wouldn't he understand it? You see, Andrew, how they get all confused on narratives? And something that you said that I thought was just point on is that, well, let these women have abortions, but don't tell the men. We're just going to have an abortion because it's my body. It's a child inside of you. Oh, no, it isn't. It's my body. The left, they're dangerous. And someone has been saying this for the longest, the term that I'm about to use, demonic. Andrew, I think so. Because how can you sit up and tell a child that a man can have a baby? How can you tell yourself, I want to have a sex change because I'm a man, but I'm not going to mess with my reproductive organs because I might want to have a baby? It's a ploy. And if I were a judge, and if I ever decided to run for office, I would push like hell to have those kids removed from the families because it is a disruption, it is demonic, and it is confusing. We don't need a generation of kids being confused. Only in America are they allowing this to happen. Men can't have babies. And if you want to have a freaking sex change, have it completely. But don't sit there, well, I'm going to keep my reproductive organs so that I can have a baby. And I can say, oh, I'm a man who had a baby. Wrong. I stand against it. And we should have people on the Hill standing against it. Because when you let this stuff come in, this is what happens. Now they're mad at Texas because Texas is trying to control the birthing canal of women, or as they say, birthing people. There's no birthing people. Wake the heck up. We want to protect every life. So all those knuckleheads out there that are mad because of Texas heartbeat, oh no, it's wrong. And then you have Oregon saying, well, we're going to stop doing business with Texas. And other people, well, we're going to pay for these women to have these abortions. People, wake up. It's about saving the sanctity of life and not you trying to make a political statement because it's my body and I can do what I want. Grow up. So without further ado, let's bring on our guest, Irene Jackson, who's running for Congress in Texas. Hopefully she will get this. She will win. And then she will be able to go to the Hill and fight this like it's no tomorrow. Because we need people to stand up and not be afraid and to fight. Irene, how are you tonight?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me. And this, to me, is what should drive every sane American, especially the church, into the voting booths. If you're going to be a one-issue voter, this is the one. This is the reason I'm involved in politics, because enough with the murdering of innocent lives and shedding of innocent blood. We cannot continue to allow that millions of babies be slaughtered in the mother's womb and without any consequences. And so this is what actually gets me out of bed every morning, even when people like Beto O'Rourke speak for my city and Republicans in the elitist positions ignore us. This is the cause that keeps me going. It's the sanctity of life.
You're right. It's about the sanctity of life. And there's so many people that don't view it that way. And they don't want others to view it that way. You will be deceived. And as the Bible tells us, we can't be moving every which way the wind blows. We have to have a firm foundation and stand up. God gave us this life. Why would so many people want to take it away? Just think of the thousands, the millions of babies that have been slaughtered in the womb.
Exactly.
Black and brown babies slaughtered. And then they want to talk about, oh, you know, before long, white people will cease to exist. Well, if we keep killing black and brown babies, you go to any black neighborhood and you will find an abortion clinic, abortion on demand, just like McDonald's is out there. This has got to stop. So Irene, talk to us a little bit about the Texas heartbeat. Let our listeners know exactly what it is that was passed.
It's actually very simple. It just says that once the baby's heartbeat is detected, you can no longer legally abort that baby, murder that baby. It's SB 8 that Governor Abbott signed into law. Now, what is dangerous about this particular law is that we are trusting the people that have, that make their money out of the slaughter of babies, to be forthcoming and honest about the baby's heartbeat. If you go and research testimony at Congress, people have testified, then they show you exactly how these people manipulate the sonograms and the instruments used to detect a heartbeat to where they think that they don't have, that they're not pregnant. And for them, it's worth it that they don't detect that heartbeat, because now they can ship them to New Mexico, which in my case, being in El Paso, is only about 7 miles away. And they can just slaughter their baby there. And now, because it's further along, now the doctor's going to charge them even more money. We also have buses that go into the cities like my own city, El Paso, Texas, and take these women all the way to Albuquerque to perform late-term abortions. That means the baby's fully formed. There's no doubt for anybody that this baby is a human being. And at the cost of about $5,000, the doctors up in Albuquerque will murder your child with your consent. And so I don't believe in incremental bills. It is a step, I guess, in the right direction, but in this cause, I'm an abolitionist. I don't believe abortion should exist for no reason at all. I heard a testimony from a previous abortionist doctor who is now a pro-lifer, and he specifically says that when he became a pro-lifer, an abolitionist, he doesn't see any reason why a baby should be aborted, should be murdered in the womb. Specifically, if the left likes to use arguments like if the mom's life depends on it. And he says, when a mom's life depends on it, you may have to induce labor, and sometimes babies don't survive, but there's absolutely no reason why this baby should be murdered without giving them a fighting chance. How many times have we heard of babies being born very early in the gestation period, and by God's providence, they survive.
Amen.
And if you're a biblical person, in Genesis specifically, the Lord gave man authority over animals, but he never gave man authority over human beings. So at what point do we stop? You know, this abortion issue has been going on for forever. This is a part of the consequence of fallen man, of sin. You know, this is sin in its most ugly part of man that we could possibly think of, dismembering a baby in the mother's womb. And then, of course, back in biblical times, where they would let the baby be born and then they would set him in the hands of Moloch to fry them to death. And so this has been going on for many decades. That doesn't mean that it's right. And that doesn't mean that we, as a civilized community, that we talk about how we're the most powerful country in the world, that we are the most advanced nation in the world, and yet we make excuses for sacrificing and murdering our babies. What kind of civilized person is okay with that? And one of the arguments that that is used by pro-lifers, especially when a mom is walking into an abortion clinic, especially with another young child, say, well, how about we murder this one and you give this one a fighting chance? And they're appalled that you would bring something up like that. It's essentially you're murdering the baby just because there's skin in front of them and you can't see them right now. That doesn't mean that there's no life. And so what I want at some point is that we as a nation can have an amendment to the Constitution where we recognize the baby at the moment of conception as a person. At that moment, the way the Constitution is written, every protection that is given to you as a born person and me as a born person would automatically apply to the babies in the womb. And that is, if you murder the baby, there will be consequences. And I am so thankful that Texas is taking the lead on this, but I would have liked a little further than 6 weeks. Again, we're trusting those that make their money out of abortion to give us, be honest with the moms and let them know that they are pregnant. For them, I'm sure they would walk out with a pamphlet as to how they could transport them to Albuquerque, how they could go to Las Cruces, New Mexico, Santa Teresa, where the doctor that was performing abortions for decades here in El Paso, about 3-4 months ago, closed up shop. He probably already saw the law coming and moved all his equipment to the Santa Teresa, New Mexico clinic. Again, that's maybe 7 miles from downtown El Paso. Wow. El Paso's in Texas. So, you know, this is something that I will take the win and I will celebrate it. But this is not the kind of win that I would have liked to have seen Texas have, especially completely abolition. That we didn't say, okay, little grandma can have a slave because she can't fend for herself, so it's okay if she has a slave. No, we abolish slavery. And so that's what I would love to see America do, abolish abortion.
Absolutely. And Irene, I just want to point out, since you mentioned New Mexico, they're one of these states that does not even require parental consent to get an abortion. So these young kids, you know, 14, 15 year old girls can go to New Mexico and get these abortions without their parents ever even knowing about it. Just absolutely horrible.
Do you want to hear something weird about all Texas, though? We have what is called the judicial bypass. That means that the nurse at the high schools in Texas, okay, in Texas, can take our daughters to an abortion clinic in the morning, drop them off. At first, they take them before a judge. They get that judicial bypass. That means they don't have to let the parents know. Mm-hmm. They take them, the nurse from the school can take them to the abortion clinic. And now, of course, they're not as convenient as they were at before this law passed, but now they can take them to the abortion clinic, then pick them up in the afternoon. You pick up your daughter from high school in the afternoon and you don't even know that she just murdered your grandbaby. That's in the state of Texas, a judicial bypass.
Unbelievable. But yet and still it happens that a grandmother, yes, doesn't know what happened, that she just picking up her daughter who just had an abortion. And that is a reason why when Joe Biden came out and said that he wanted universal school for kids as early as 2 and 3. And a lot of people heralded it as being, oh, this is great. We like it. I'm like, no, wait, they're trying to take control. They will take those kids and indoctrinate in those kids their beliefs. Right now, they're already trying to take away the parenting from the parent. And they want the government, the schools, to raise the kid. You can't tell your child, no, you can't do this without the schools coming in and saying, oh, you can't say that. So just imagine what they're putting into the heads of these girls. Why don't we tell the kids to refrain from having sex at such early ages? Why don't we tell these women who are out there that are having sex, casual sex, okay, use protection or abstain. But instead, we want to make pregnancy political. It's all about politics. And I have spoken to women that have a heart that have said when they had an abortion, the effects that it had on them afterwards. They really didn't want to do it, but they were coerced. They went to a doctor, a nurse said, well, you know, you don't have to have this. You know, there are other things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
A person coaching another person on how to commit murder. And you won't even think about it. But the residuals effect of that act, that's one of the reasons why some of the states are saying, no, we don't want the mom to hear the heartbeat, because they're afraid if she hears a heartbeat, there's a connection. So they don't want any connection. They want to make it as cold as ice. You think you are, let's get rid of it. This society has just fallen. We have fallen so far down, and we see it in everything that we do. This administration that was stolen and came in is changing so many fundamental things of our society, things that make us. And like I said, you had AOC the other day trying to validate the abortion. If you don't have any skin in the game, shut up.
Well, we had Beto O'Rourke videotaping himself crying about how mean these Republicans are in Texas for going against women's rights. That just blows my mind. Women's rights? What about the future woman that is in the womb? What about their rights? And don't they argue that men don't have a stake in it, that they don't have a say in it? Why is Beto O'Rourke all of a sudden speaking for women? And the reality is that, yes, abortion affects minorities more, but we are some of the most conservative people in this nation. Again, I said it before, and I'll keep saying it, that it's not just on the Democrats. Where are the Republicans? And so until we have the where we marry the old established Republicans and the new Republicans that are coming in, and they're coming in droves. And I'm part of those new Republicans that are coming in droves. Until we work together and there's not a separation, we won't accomplish what we want to accomplish to preserve the freedoms in our nation, to preserve our constitutional republic. How is it that somebody like AOC, who's not even a mother, now all of a sudden is a spokesperson for women, for mothers? Are you kidding me? And so we need the message to get out, especially in the minority communities, that this is something that is already ingrained in a mom. I'm not somebody that grew up thinking, I can't wait to be a mom, but I can tell you that I have fought for my kids tooth and nail. And God forbid that anybody lay a hand on my girls, because we have three girls. I don't care if I end up in jail. And right now, I'm putting all of my time, all of my effort, and as many resources that we possibly can in El Paso, who has voted for 57 years, a straight Democrat, into flipping it. And we're standing outside the high schools where kids are being segregated and protesting the mask mandate, which is illegal. This is all about, why is it that the left can victimize our children and nobody holds them accountable? So we have a lot of angry moms working together, because this is about protecting our babies in the womb. These are about protecting our children in the schools. We have a 13-year-old that stopped going to school yesterday because the school will deny him entry because he won't wear a mask.
Unbelievable. That is completely, I heard about that.
Isn't that a freedom? Isn't that at the Supreme Court already, that children cannot be denied? Even if they're illegally here, they cannot be denied an education. Mm. You're telling me we are going to educate illegals and we're not going to educate our own children? But see, this is a consequence of America allowing our most helpless citizens to be victimized.
That's so true.
Are we surprised that now they're abusing their authority at the city, the county, and the school board levels. We have to champion for our kids. When a teacher is screaming at a 10-year-old, and this is a true story, demanding to see the paperwork for their exemption, and making this 10-year-old sign their name to this exemption, and then threatening that 10-year-old that if they don't wear a mask, they're going to be fined $500. What do you think that does to a 10-year-old? That's not a fair fight. So we adults are equalizers. That means that we, as the voice of the most helpless from the womb till they're 18, and maybe even beyond, depending on their capacities, we're equalizers. We always tell men, go pick on somebody your own size. That's exactly what should be the message right now to the principals, to the teachers, to the doctors, to the nurses, and everybody, pick on somebody your own size. So we have allowed the left to bully women into thinking that their only recourse is abortion. And now we're allowing school administrators to bully children into masking themselves. So there's a big fight in front of us. I'm thankful for SB8, but it's not enough.
Yeah, well said, Irene. Your opponent, Veronica Escobar, she's a Democrat, so I'm pretty sure I know where she stands on this abortion law, but has she had much to say about it? What is the differences between you and her when it comes down to the right to child's life?
Oh, it's night and day. And we've quoted her in saying, well, I would never do it, but I would never tell a woman what she can or can't do with her body. This is not about a woman's body. This is about the baby's body. And why is it that even if it was a rape that produced the baby, first of all, I'm a born again Christian, so I believe that God gives life no matter what the circumstances are. We can have a man and a woman come together and have intimacy, but it doesn't always produce a life. Why? Because God didn't ordain that spirit. But even if you don't come from that place to pretend like life doesn't exist at the moment of fertilization is ridiculous. And even if it was a rape, why is it that if there's this heinous crime, the only one that receives a death sentence is the baby? They can't speak for themselves. Yes, there should be consequences, but it shouldn't be upon the baby. And every woman, you see story after story after story of babies that have been conceived in rape. And a mom says, I see my child. I don't see the rapist. And that's the argument of the left. Every time they see that child, they're going to remember that rape. That's not true. But even if you don't want to live with that child, give them up for adoption. There's families waiting. I would love to see a revamping of the whole adoption process in our nation. It shouldn't be so expensive. Yes, they should be vetted profusely, completely, so we don't end up with abused children. But this is a money market issue. In adoption, there's people waiting to adopt that cannot afford to adopt. That should not be an obstacle for a loving couple to have the opportunity to become parents through the process of adoption. So she is one of the 26 legislators, I think, that are now trying to draft legislation in order to stop vigilante, and notice the words that they use, vigilante Texans from turning in women that are going to have abortions after 6 weeks. This woman stands for everything that is wicked. She stands for open borders. She stands for non-vetted Afghans to come into our base. Now we have a base that has illegal unaccompanied minors. We have Afghans that, don't be fooled, they are not properly vetted. And she stands for murder of babies, even to the moment of birth. Of course she is wicked. There couldn't be such a big divide amongst her and myself. I stand for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all. She stands for Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness for the Elite and those that put money in her pocket. This is all about money, all about money.
Yeah, and we're coming up at the bottom half of the hour, Irene, but just to get your thoughts on it, maybe clear some things up for the listeners. We're seeing a lot of misinformation from the media coming out about Texas Governor Greg Abbott. He's been busy signing that not only this abortion law, but also a new voting law into effect. Of course, the media is spinning this as like it's making it more difficult for minorities to vote and whatnot. What have you read about this new voting law?
Well, I actually read the bill, and there's absolutely nothing racist and nothing that would keep me from voting. And to assume that because my brown skin, I can't vote now is the epitome of racist and hateful. I had a lady that told me, you know, I had to go to my precinct, to my voting area, three different times because the line was so long. She said, but I kept coming back and kept coming back. There's nothing in that law that prevents legal people, U.S. citizens that have registered to vote from voting. Absolutely nothing. I had people call me on election day and say, I went to vote and they told me that I had already voted. If you look at the voting, the tallies, the mail-in ballots were 5-1, 5 Democrats to 1 Republican. Well, we know for a fact that they fill them out for the people, the residents in the nursing homes. So now part of the law is that, first of all, you have to request the mail-in ballot. People were getting up to 5 mail-in ballots, and the Democrats were filling it in for them and sending them back. If you look at every election in here, just in my city alone, it's the mail-in ballots that kill us. And there's no signature verification. So now you're going to have to not only request your mail-in ballot, but you are also going to have to send your ID proving that it is you that requested that ballot and that it is you that is voting. And so we want to make sure that it is you, that nobody else votes for you. And I don't see anything racist in this law. We need to protect the voters, especially the minority voters, that they are not coerced to voting a certain way, because we cannot continue to allow the cheating to prevail here. And believe me, we're going to flip a lot of seats now that the cheating's not going to be able to take place. They don't even care about the illegals. I want to make sure that when we flip the House, that there is investigations on all these voter candidates and legislatures to find and follow the money. Just follow the money. How much of this trafficking money is coming to them? And not only to them, but to their relatives, just like Joe Biden and all his relatives have become wealthy from him being a senator and now, you know, stealing the White House. I want to see investigations on all of them. And we need some severe consequences, because we need to make sure that the criminals in Washington, D.C. understand that if you steal and you go around and do things illegally, you will be held accountable. And maybe some of them will think twice about becoming involved in criminal activity with the traffickers and the cartels. That's who's running our borders right now, the traffickers and the cartels. And they're lining the pockets of the politicians like Veronica Escobar.
Yeah, well said. And if you want to learn more about that, Irene talked about it the last time we had her on, go to AmericaOutloud.com. Type in Irene Jackson, or you can type in Kamala Harris versus the border, and you can listen to her appearance from the last time we had her on. We really appreciate your time once again, Irene. You're a firecracker on social media. You don't sugarcoat anything. What is the best spot people could go to support you?
My website, takebackuscongress.com.
Fantastic. And you are listening to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud Talk Radio, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or download the America Out Loud app. We will be back with more on After Dark.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back after dark with Rob and Andrew. And the second half of our show, we have on with us William Rodriguez Morrison, and he's running for the mayor of Los Angeles. Andrew, we have seen and read about the stories in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is hemorrhaging. We know that right now, the folks in California are hopefully voting to recall Gavin Newsom. We need to dump him. We need to get rid of Gavin Newsom. Hopefully, they will make the right decision and they will get rid of him. That being said, we'll wait and see what the polls show. But until such time, we have with us William Morrison, who wants to turn around the state of affairs in Los Angeles. I don't know how these big cities have managed to get in liberal leaders that have failed miserably when it's come to policing. It seems as if though they don't care, and their excuse is, well, we're trying to help out the disadvantaged. We're trying to help out those individuals. We want to make certain that the laws aren't so cumbersome on them. Well, in my book, I don't care who you are. You should be able to obey the law, plain and simple. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. And if you can't obey the law, then you have to face the consequences. But trying to give someone a leg up, and in doing so, reducing the laws because she feels as though they can't obey them, is discriminatory, not only against those people who are obeying the law, but to those people that you're trying to give a leg up on because you're saying that they don't have the intelligence or the withal to obey basic laws, laws that have always existed. And if those city officials feel as if though those laws are repressive and have been repressive, look at who created those laws, Democrats. And what are they doing now? They're trying to tear down those laws and institute other ridiculous laws that will also affect Black and Brown people. We see it. Make no mistake. Don't try to deny it. Don't try to hide from it. We've got to make some critical decisions. And we see people that are stepping up, especially on the Conservative Party. We need to look at them. Hopefully, they will be able to make a difference. What do you say, Andrew?
Yeah, I completely agree, Rob. And unfortunately, me living in the Chicago area, you living in New York City, we can relate to what Los Angeles is going through with these liberal policies. Chicago's had a liberal mayor for close to 100 years, Democrat mayor. And you just look at what's happened to the city, and it's an absolute shame. And I see the same thing happening in your big cities all across America. Of course, we've talked about Portland, we've talked about Seattle, San Francisco. There's just so many of them that are falling to the far left progressive Democrat policies. And really, the whole state of California has been suffering from that since Gavin Newsom came into office. So without further ado, let's bring on our guest, William Morrison. How are you doing tonight? You're running for mayor of Los Angeles. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, I was actually born and raised in the city of Los Angeles. I am third generation. My great-grandparents migrated here from Mexico. And it's an honor to be running in the behalf of my heritage because I've seen my city get destroyed for so long. It's time for change and for me to wake up the community, and that's what I've been doing. And like you have mentioned before, yes, I was a Democrat, but the Democratic Party kind of got upset with me because they told me I needed to wait my turn in line till it was my time, I guess, to be anointed to run. It's a privilege to run to protect your community and your city. And they deprived me of that. So then I changed over parties and I am a Republican, and I have been able to see what's going on with the city, the neglect that has been happening to many communities in the city. And we have elected officials that just don't care, and they're not out there solving these problems, which I address those problems to them, and they say they're going to get to it. And it's time to have a strong mayor that's going to make sure that there's accountability and integrity, and they have to do their job correctly.
So, William, what background do you have to run for mayor of Los Angeles? What have you done in the city that people can look at?
Well, I've been part of the neighborhood council since it was invented in the year of 2000. I have been a budget advocate. I've sat on boards of the directors through the budget advocates to see the books. And I have 21 years of their budget reports to see where the money goes. And it's actually not being allocated to where it's supposed to be done.
And what would you do? What are some of the things that you would do for Los Angeles as a mayor that you see that isn't happening right now?
Wow. For one thing, the city of Los Angeles has a lot of vacant properties that they own. Now, what we need to do with the homeless on that issue, there's a three parts to that. You have the ones that have mental health. So we need to put them in one facility for these nonprofits that supposedly are supposed to be treating them with doctors there, put them in that location so they can be treated. The ones with drug and alcohol, put them in another location so they can be rehabilitated, get off of the drugs and alcohol, and place them in vocational training so this way they can get back in the workforce and be a part of the city. Because since there is lack of, I guess you can say, public works of not doing the work 100%, to teach these individuals to be able to take over that position so they can be the individuals that are retiring from Department of Water and Power and these other ones as well. They will be able to replace them and they'll have a permanent job in the city. I want to bring that also for the ones that are in poverty. Let's teach them a trade so they can get back in the workforce and get on their feet and at least be able to house themselves. And I know the city had a policy before back in 2000. Every building that was built, one third needs to be affordable based on your income. It has not been enforced since it came out. We have high-rise buildings that are going for $4,500 for like a studio. That's a little bit crazy there.
In my opinion, it's inhumane to allow these individuals to walk around without taking their medicine, causing harm to themselves and harm to other citizens. This should not be. It's getting to the point that it's them versus us. And you have a lot of folks that are there that are saying, well, they're not bothering anyone, leave them alone, and you're okay with them being out on the streets, and we'll give them a couple of nickels, a couple of dimes, we'll give them something to eat. How about finding a place for them to stay? How about getting them rehabilitation? How about getting them the services that they need so that they can become functioning parts of our community, of our society, as opposed to allowing them to live on the streets? We don't even allow dogs and cats on the streets anymore. So I think that that is a great idea to use the vacant properties. And also, as you mentioned, for individuals who are homeless, allow them to live there and then teach, give them skills so they could re-enter the job force, a trade. Now, what are your thoughts on the border crisis? Because I know that California, parts of it is a sanctuary state. Los Angeles is a sanctuary city.
It's not going to be a sanctuary city no more. They need to be screened as well when they come in, because who's to know that if we're bringing in criminals over, from over the border, because they're not even getting a background check. When my grandparents, great-grandparents came here, they applied for a citizenship and they used to work in the fields. So they had a work permit to be here and they became citizens, unfortunately. But these other individuals that they are bringing over, there's also crime tied to them as well. Because let's think about some of the children that have disappeared through human trafficking. There was an arrest about a week ago over in Hollywood that they caught two human trafficking suspects entering a building and they were arrested. And this has been going on for years. Nobody wants to really address it. They just brush it under the rug that it doesn't exist, but it does exist. And it's time to change all that and give, you know, have a caring mayor that's compassionate for his job, which that will be me, because I'm compassionate in every job I do. And I'm going to make sure they get the help they need, even if I have to bring back the 72-hour hold period, which I'm going to extend that for at least, it should be at least 7 days so they can be evaluated through that program.
What are your thoughts on the policing? We see people all across the country saying that they want to defund the police. Our police officers are getting a lot of disrespect all across the country. What are your plans with the LAPD?
With the LAPD, I'm very compassionate with the LAPD. We used to have barbecues, block parties with the police department and coming out to communities and giving them, I guess you could say, with the LA Rams, they used to get footballs and things like that. And it would be throughout the whole year. We need to bring those back because we need more community involvement with the police department and with the communities. And I am not going to defund the police department. And what I am going to do is bring back more programs that work for the community and work for the city so we can interact together as one family.
Do you find that the police are not being given a fair shot in California? And when I say shot, meaning a fair chance, because they've been lumping all the police in one bucket, saying that the police are bad. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I feel that's a tragedy because I know a lot of LAPD officers and officers also with Pasadena and throughout the state of California, the highway patrols, and they're doing their job. And like I've mentioned in my community and even to my neighbors, that's it, that they should be defunded. I said, when your husband and wife leave the house, they're guaranteed to come home. When a law enforcement officer or anybody with law enforcement that works for law enforcement, when they leave the house, there's no guarantee that they're going to come back home to their spouse. So they need to treat them as family and not be labeling them that they're all corrupt. Yes, there are a few that need to be retrained in there or maybe doing the wrong procedures, but those are mistakes that we have to address and fix. We should not be defunding the police department because that's just raising the crime rate. And since they defunded the police department here in LA, the crime has went up to 38% crime rate. It's increased.
Right, which is unfortunate because we have good police officers that are out there if the cities, the mayors would allow them to do their job. And then you have the district attorney there, Gascon, who wants to let criminals out of jail so that they can continue to commit crime. And then you have Hollywood elite in LA that will support these crazy laws to let criminals out on the streets while they're living behind gated fences. And we can't continue to let the elite in our society tell us what to do and how to do it while they're doing something completely different. Look at the COVID-19 and having to wear masks. What are your thoughts on that? What schools opening up?
My thoughts on that, the schools should stay open. And my theory about this vaccine, I don't trust the vaccine because I've had heart surgery before. I have 4 titanium stents. And I've talked to doctors. And last night I was talking to this one doctor And he told me he actually made an appointment for me to take this test, which they do a swab, which is a PGX test, and it will show what your body's allergic to and what kind of type of medication you should take. But like me, I eat raw ginger every morning and garlic. So, you know, like I know my immune system's strong. So I get tested every week whenever I'm going to go to work. I feel with this mask policy, the mask is actually hindering you from breathing and causing more harm to your body. A shield would be much better because at least that protects you from somebody coughing on you. But I don't feel that this is foolproof about these vaccines. And there is a plasma that they can give you, and it actually builds up your immune system so you will not get the virus. But of course, since it costs big money for it, only the elite are getting that. And with the vaccines, when the vaccines came out, like you said, these elite individuals, like from these poverty, you know, I guess you can say richer communities, came down to Boyle Heights and took, like when it's your turn to get a vaccine, from my community had to wait. And none of the individuals of my neighbors could even get an appointment, which was, you know, we pay the same percentage of taxes. It should be fair across the board.
And then what about the schools? Do you think schools should require kids to be vaccinated when we don't know what this vaccine will do? I mean, and I hear all the stories about, well, you know, the kids got the chicken pox, they got that vaccine, they got the measles, the rubella, et cetera, et cetera. But this virus is so new. I think if we take the approach and treat it like a cold or the flu and find remedies to help individuals that get it, we'll be a lot better off than saying we need to vaccinate, because we're seeing now that even with the vaccination, people are getting sick. So how about finding a panacea that will aid them or give them comfort when they do get the virus, as opposed to trying to get a shot in the arm? I mean, these are kids. We don't know what this thing would do. And now they're saying it's time for a booster shot. And you have two members of the CDC that have resigned because they're saying, wait a minute, Joe, we don't know what the vaccine will do. And you're talking about a booster shot, and you got Dr. Fauci, who's right there saying, yep, let's do that. Let's do that booster shot. And you have these liberal leaders, like I said, that are right behind them pushing this, because in my opinion, this is part of a bigger scheme to take away our civil liberties. It starts with that, William, and then gradually they'll start taking away other liberties. Look at the voting, how they wanted everyone to stay inside so they can do mail-in ballots. And now they want to continue that flawed process when the Democrats know themselves that it is flawed, but they know it's a way for them to cheat. And then they have activist judges that won't challenge them. And we need to elect leaders that will follow the science and not follow the money or the politician, the political party, because that's the results that they want. We've got to wake up and try to force families to force their kids to take the vaccine, or else your kid can't go to school. It's wrong. It's completely wrong. So tell our listeners why they should vote for you.
Why you should vote for me. Actually, on my platform, it is the homelessness, healthcare, public safety, and education. One of the main reasons why, like on the healthcare, with my mom, she's going to be 80 years old soon. It's coming November. And it's a shame that the Congress has not, with the cost of inflation, they have not raised the limits for in-house care for some of these seniors. That's why they get these reverse mortgages, which I feel that is just stealing the property from them, from these reverse mortgages. Education, another thing, with just these loans that they get with compound interest, when they don't even have a job that they will not be able to pay back. Those are things that I'm going to address and fix, because taxpayers already pay for it with property taxes, and they're not waking up and noticing what they're paying for. On my state taxes for the property, you're paying for universities, junior colleges, education, for the public roads, and they're not even repairing the public roads. If I'm elected in, all those things are going to be addressed and fixed, because I have the compassion to get it done. If I even have to subcontract it out, if they want to strike, if they want to go on strike, these unions, Public Works Department of Water and Power, that's fine. As long as I have individuals that can subcontract it to, that can get the work done until these guys decide they're going to do the work, then they can come back. But they're going to have to do the specs that I want done. Other cities can do 5 city blocks in one day. I don't want this to stretch on for months. You can get your 5 city blocks done in one day, do your work properly, and have integrity to what you're doing in that job. If you don't want to get the job done, look for another profession to where you can sit around and you get paid, because you're not getting paid for not doing a job correctly.
William, we've seen what's happened in this California governor race. Larry Elder, all of a sudden, all these allegations started coming out against him in the paper. We see that time and time again in today's political climate where people are accused of things, whether it be falsely or true in some cases. But nonetheless, allegations are constantly flying, a lot of times with no substance behind them. And a lot of these papers will print this stuff. Is this something that you've discussed with your family, that possibly if you start rising in the polls, that they will be coming after you with some of these hit job stories that are probably half true or not true at all?
Yes, I have discussed it with my family. They've witnessed that before in the past when I ran against Kevin DeLeon. He came after me with all kinds of false lies. And it's just that the Democrats have gotten so scared. But they have the unions with all this money going door to door to get them to vote for the individual they want. And honestly, there was one group that told me, a special interest group, well, we'll jump on board on your campaign, but you have to do this and that for us. I said, no, I can't do all that, anything for you, because I'm here for the people and for my city and the community. So I guess our meeting is over. You guys have to just go away. Don't ever approach me again or even talk this foolishness to me, because I would never do that, because my integrity is very strong for the people and for my community. And I want to make it better for everybody else for the future, so they have all the rights that they're entitled to. And don't try to change these laws and get rid of our constitution, because that's what Kevin DeLeon did when he was a senator with that ghost gun nonsense. So I'm going to restore the city back to its beauty, like the golden years back in the 60s with everything thriving. And I think that's why I would be the best candidate and the strongest candidate to take on this issue and fix the problem.
That's got to be music to so many California residents' ears. William, what's the best place that people could go to support you or keep in touch with you?
Well, they can email me. My website is being built right now as we speak, and it should be up within the next couple of weeks. But they can go to William Rodriguez Morrison, the number four, LAMayor2022.net.
Thank you so much for taking the time and that hot LA heat to join us tonight. And best of luck in the race for the mayor of LA, William Rodriguez Morrison. Thank you for joining us. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com, who celebrated its 5th anniversary this year. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We'll see you guys next time. Remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.